The 31st of December, the year that I released this video, 2025, marks the final day of the first quarter of the 21st century, which began on the 1st of January of the year 2001. While we all understand that the world map is constantly changing throughout history, it's difficult to view and understand the ebbs and flows of history while you're actually living through the middle of them. But now that we can look back over these past 25 years, we can clearly see how the forces of geopolitics and history shifted and molded our world map in ways that would have been impossible to have predicted at the start of the century. And so with that, these are all of the ways in which our world map has changed and evolved over the course of the first quarter of the 21st century between 2001 and 2025. The first major change of the world map in the 21st century took place in March of 2001 between the countries of Qatar and Bahrain. For decades before this, ever since the 1930s, both of these countries maintained a contentious territorial dispute over the ownership of the Hawar Islands and the town of Zubarah on the Qatar Peninsula's mainland. In the 1990s, both sides agreed that they would take their dispute to the International Court of Justice, or the ICJ, for arbitration. And in March of 2001, the ICJ delivered its final result, awarding most of the disputed Hawar Islands to Bahrain and the disputed town of Zubayah on the mainland to Qatar, which both sides recognized and have respected ever since. Two countries also decided to significantly alter their national flags in 2001, the Comoros and Rwanda, with both countries adopting their new flag designs near the end of the year in December. Other than that, the only other major geographic change that took place in 2001 started in October, when the US and NATO launched a full-scale invasion of Afghanistan in order to topple the country's Taliban regime from power following the 9/11 attacks. By the middle of December, the Taliban will be forcefully ousted and their name for the country, the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, will be no more. 3 years later, in 2004, a US-backed democracy will take over power and change the country's name to the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan instead, complete with another brand new flag for the country that replaced the Taliban's previous white flag with black text. Two major geographic changes to the world map took place the next year in 2002. The first took place within the Comoros in March, where the country managed to reabsorb the separatist and de facto independent island state of Anjouan. Anjouan had unilaterally declared their independence from the Comoros in 1997, and after they requested to be reintegrated back into overseas France and were rejected by the French, they operated as a de facto but unrecognized independent state for years, until now in March of 2002, when they agreed to rejoin the Comoros again in exchange for a high degree of autonomy. However, several years later, in 2007, Anjouan would unilaterally declare their independence from the Comoros yet again. But that time, the Comoros decided to quickly launch an amphibious invasion of the island and quickly overran it and restore their control again. It has remained under the sovereignty of the Comoros ever since. Only a couple of months after Anjouan lost their independence, another country would gain theirs in May of 2002 over on the other side of the Indian Ocean, East Timor. East Timor was originally a Portuguese colony that declared their independence in 1975, but they were immediately invaded and occupied by Indonesia for decades and subjected to a brutal campaign of repression that killed as much as one-third of their entire population. Indonesia's control of the territory was thus overwhelmingly unpopular among East Timor's own population. And so, under mounting international pressure, the Indonesian government finally allowed a referendum on autonomy or independence to take place in East Timor in 1999. With a huge 99% voter turnout, a clear majority of 78.5% of voters in the referendum selected independence, which sparked massive levels of violence and upheaval on the island. Vengeful pro-Indonesian militias and soldiers destroyed as much as 80% of the infrastructure in East Timor's largest city before they withdrew, while at least 1,400 civilians were also murdered. A UN-authorized intervention force was then deployed to East Timor to maintain order and to establish a transitional government. Indonesia eventually came around to recognizing the referendum's results, and so East Timor managed to successfully declare their uncontested independence as the 21st century's first new country a few years later in May of 2002, and adopted its Portuguese language name of Timor-Leste. In February of 2003, the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia formally changed its name to the State Union of Serbia and Montenegro, finally removing the name of Yugoslavia from the world's maps for good. The following month in March, the US led an international coalition that carried out a full-scale invasion of Iraq that rapidly toppled the decades-long regime of Saddam Hussein and the Ba'ath Party in the country. The US occupation forces would help set up a brand new government of the country that would lead to Iraq adopting this new, slightly different official flag in 2004, and then this more simplified flag later in 2008 that has remained the official Iraqi flag so far ever since. In January of 2004, Kazakhstan agreed to a proposed revision of the terms of Russia's territorial lease to the Baikonur Cosmodrome, where all of Russia's crewed space flights are launched from. originally supposed to expire in 2011. Kazakhstan now agreed to extend Russia's lease to the Cosmodrome up until 2050, in exchange for fixed annual payments of $115 million by the Russians. In March of 2004, NATO completed the fifth enlargement of the alliance by welcoming in seven new members. The former Warsaw Pact states of Bulgaria, Romania, and Slovakia, the former Yugoslav state of Slovenia, and the former Soviet republics of Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, all of which was strongly protested against by Russia. With Lithuania's entrance into NATO, Russia's disconnected exclave of Kaliningrad first became surrounded by NATO territory, while the additions of Latvia and Estonia placed NATO's frontiers on the Russian mainland's borders for the very first time. Then, a couple months later, in May of 2004, the European Union would dramatically expand its membership as well, with the entrance of 10 new countries. Cyprus, Malta, Slovenia, Hungary, Slovakia, the Czech Republic, Poland, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. 2005 was a year of tremendous geopolitical changes in the Levant region of the Middle East. In April, Syrian troops finally completed their withdrawal out of Lebanon following a peaceful, non-violent revolution after having occupied parts of the country for the past 29 years. And then a few months later in September, Israel completed their own full withdrawal out of the Gaza Strip as well, dismantling all 21 of their settlements in the territory and forcefully evicting all 8,000 Israeli settlers who were there back into Israel proper in the process. Later in November of 2005, Myanmar formally relocated their capital city from the southern city of Yangon to the more central and brand new city of Naib Yadaw, which their government only began constructing a few years earlier in 2002 at a cost of billions of dollars. The following year, in 2006, Uzbekistan rejoined the Russian-led CSTO alliance after they had previously withdrawn from it back in 1999, owing to tensions that had developed between them and the United States. Then in June of 2006, another huge geographic change took place in Europe with Serbia and Montenegro's divorce. The State Union of Serbia and Montenegro that was established earlier in 2003 enabled either country to voluntarily leave the Union following a successful referendum on independence. And so in May of 2006, Montenegro hosted that promised independence referendum. It hit a huge turnout, more than 86% of the voters in Montenegro, with 55.5% of them saying yes to independence, just squeezing past the required threshold of 55% to be considered successful. Serbia chose not to contest the referendum's legitimacy and honored Montenegro's decision to leave. And so, in June of 2006, Montenegro formally seceded from Serbia and became the second country to achieve an uncontested independence during the 21st century. The process of Yugoslavia's messy dissolution that began in the 1990s continued, while for the first time since the First World War, Serbia was left landlocked without any access to the coast. Then later on in 2006 in October, the Pacific island country of Palau formally relocated their capital city from Koror to Ngerulmud, away from a small, crowded, and overdeveloped island towards the largest island the country that had way more room and space to expand on. Finally, the Democratic Republic of the Congo and Lesotho both decided to substantially alter their flag designs in 2006 as well. On New Year's Day in January of 2007, both Bulgaria and Romania being the latest countries to join the European Union. And by about the midpoint of the year in June, Hamas had emerged victorious in Gaza after a short-lived Palestinian civil war. During the 2006 legislative elections in the Palestinian territories, Hamas had unexpectedly emerged victorious with the largest share of votes. And for about the next year, neither Hamas nor their rival Fatah could come to a diplomatic agreement on how to share power together. The tensions finally reached a boiling point in June of 2007, when an impatient Hamas simply seized power in the Gaza Strip through force and evicted Fatah out of the territory. Since then, the Palestinian territories have remained de facto divided between two separate and rival governments, with Fatah in power in the West Bank and Hamas in power in the Gaza Strip, with each side asserting that they alone are the one true legitimate representative of the Palestinian people. In response to Hamas's victory, Israel began imposing a full-scale land, sea, and air blockade over the Gaza Strip shortly afterwards that continues to this day. In February of 2008, Kosovo finally decided to unilaterally declare their independence from Serbia without Serbia's consent, which, unlike Montenegro, Serbia declared to be illegal and refused to recognize. Kosovo had already been a de facto autonomous region of Serbia for years that was occupied by NATO forces and placed under an interim UN-administered government ever since the deadly war in the territory between Kosovar Albanians and Serbs had ended in 1999. Kosovo's unilateral declaration of independence from Serbia in 2008 was thus a further assertion of what was already basically the de facto situation on the ground. But Serbia's refusal to ever accept or recognize it for nearly two decades ever since has created one of modern Europe's most contentious geopolitical issues. status. As of mid-2025, 108 out of the 193 member states of the United Nations, or 56% of them, have chosen to recognize Kosovo's independence as legitimate. However, all five of the original BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, continue to reject Kosovo's independence and take Serbia's side in the dispute instead, which effectively recognizes Kosovo as nothing but a rebellious territory of Serbia's. Well, curiously, even a few of the EU member states still reject Kosovo's independence as well, including Spain, Slovakia, Romania, Greece, and Cyprus. Only a few months later, in August of 2008, citing the precedent that they claimed Kosovo's unilateral independence declaration had just set, Russia launched a full-scale invasion of Georgia in support of separatists that they decided to back there in South Ossetia and Abkhazia. By the 11th of August, Russian and South Ossetian separatist forces had fully pushed Georgian forces out of the territory the former Soviet-era South Ossetian autonomous had lost. And by the next day, on the 12th, they and Abkhazian separatist forces had also managed to completely expel Georgian forces from Upper Abkhazia too, the final territory that was held by the Georgians in Abkhazia following the last war in the 1990s. Tens of thousands of ethnic Georgians were subsequently expelled from these territories. And the day after the war ended, on the 17th of August, Russia formally recognized the unilateral independence of both Abkhazia and South Ossetia from Georgia. To date, the only other UN member countries that have ever recognized Abkhazia and South Ossetia's independence are Venezuela, Nicaragua, Syria, and Nauru. All other countries still recognize them as being temporarily occupied territories of Georgia. At around the same time as the Russian invasion of Georgia was ongoing in August of 2008, Nigeria also finalized the transfer of the Bakassi Peninsula to Cameroon, a territory that had been disputed between both of these countries for decades that was occupied by the Nigerians, but which the ICJ had just recently ruled belonged to Cameroon instead. Also, in October of 2008, China and Russia managed to successfully negotiate an end to their own major long-running territorial dispute in the Far East as well. Their dispute centered upon the riverine islands at the confluence of the Amur and Ussuri rivers between the Russian Far East and Manchuria. The 1860 Treaty of Peking had set the border between Russia and China along the Amur and Ussuri rivers, which meant that the islands at the two rivers' confluence were all understood to be Chinese. But the Soviets occupied the islands here in 1929 anyway, and then they and the Russians continued holding on to them for decades against the near-constant protests of China, until they finally decided to resolve the dispute over them in the 2000s. It was finally settled by Russia ceding control over about half of the big main island and several of the smaller surrounding islands to China, totaling up to about 170 square kilometers of land transferred, roughly the same size as the tiny country of Liechtenstein. In exchange, China agreed to renounce all of their claims to the rest of the big island that was kept by Russia. But then, many years later in 2023, China released a new official map of their country's territory that once again displayed the whole of this island as being Chinese, potentially reviving the dispute here once again. In April of 2009, NATO expanded again with their sixth enlargement by welcoming the Balkan countries of Albania and Croatia into the alliance. Later in July, China and Kyrgyzstan managed to successfully demarcate their border that involved Kyrgyzstan, agreeing to cede over a small amount of land, about 9 square kilometers all in all, over to China. And then in November, the US and Mexico agreed on another tiny land transfer of a few little islands in the Rio Grande River. The US transferred 6 tiny uninhabited islands in the river to Mexico, while Mexico transferred 3 of their own tiny uninhabited islands in the river over to the US, resulting in an almost minuscule net gain of 0.17 square kilometers of land for Mexico out of the deal, only about one-third the size of Vatican City. The only event of serious note in terms of the world map changing that happened throughout all of 2010 was in April, when the then more pro-Russian Ukrainian government controversially decided to extend the Russian government's lease to the naval facilities at the port of Sevastopol in Crimea for another 25 years beyond when it was originally scheduled to end in 2017, pushing it out towards 2042, with options on further renewals afterwards. Besides for that, the government of Myanmar also decided to significantly alter their national flag this year, switching from the socialist-era flag that had been in use since the 1970s to the current tricolor flag with a big white star in the center. In January of 2011, China and Tajikistan finally settled their massive border dispute that Tajikistan had inherited from the Soviet Union and the Russian Empire following their independence in the 1990s. Prior to this, China maintained a huge claim to about 20% of Tajikistan's internationally recognized territory, across the eastern Pamir Mountains. So in order to settle this dispute in 2011, Tajikistan agreed to cede over 1,322 square kilometers of this land over to China, an area roughly the size of Hong Kong. This area was only about 3.5% of the total area in Tajikistan that China had originally claimed. But China agreed to drop all of the remaining claims to the rest of the territory in exchange for this small gain that Tajikistan had actually consented to, redrawing the border between them in the process. By March of 2011, mounting unrest in Syria would boil over in a full-scale civil war in the country, which would result in significant de facto territorial changes within the country later. Then in July of 2011, South Sudan seceded from the rest of Sudan and became the third new country to emerge uncontested during the 21st century, following Montenegro and East Timor. Following the conclusion of the Second Sudanese Civil War between the North and the South in 2005 that had killed millions of people, an exhausted Sudan agreed to allow the South to hold an independence referendum 6 years later in 2011. And so, when 2011 came around and the referendum was finally hosted across the South, an enormous 97% of the territory's registered voters turned out to the polls, and nearly 99% of them all voted yes for secession and independence. And so with that, South Sudan formally declared its independence in July of 2011. And although it went uncontested by Sudan, a few territorial disputes between them still remain, especially relating to the Abyei region between them that both sides continue to claim to this day that's about the size of Lebanon. By October of 2011, a civil war in Libya resulted in the collapse and overthrow of the decades-long Gaddafi regime in the country, which resulted in the rebels significantly changing the national flag of Libya from the solid green flag of the Gaddafi era back to the old flag that Libya used to use back in the 1950s and 60s before Gaddafi. Finally, on the last day of the year in December of 2011, Samoa and Tokelau formally swapped their time zone over to the western side of the international dateline in order to become more closely connected to who had by then become their largest trading partners, Australia and New Zealand. Then in April of 2012, the state of Azawad unilaterally declared its independence from the nation of Mali, the fourth such instance of something like this happening in the 21st century, following the similar unilateral examples of Kosovo, South Ossetia, and Abkhazia all in Europe. The state of Azawad declared Timbuktu to be their capital and laid claim to roughly 60% of Mali's internationally recognized territory in the north. They actually did control most of this territory in a de facto sense on the ground at the time, but neither Mali nor any other country would ever accept or recognize their independence, and they wouldn't survive for very long. Only months later, in July of 2012, the last major town that Azawad controlled in Mali would be lost to another rival militant group in the country called Ansar Dine, a radical Islamist group that sought to conquer the whole of Mali and transform it all into an Islamic state that had already conquered all of Azawad's major cities. Azawad ceased to exist in a de facto sense, and following a French military intervention that restored the Malian government's control back across the country again, Azawad would be formally dissolved altogether in a legal sense the following year in 2013 as well, ending its brief geopolitical existence on the world map. Meanwhile, in June of 2012, a tense standoff between the Philippines and China over the disputed Scarborough Shoal between them ended with an agreement in which both sides would withdraw their forces from it. But in the end, the Philippines was the only side that actually honored the agreement and withdrew from the Scarborough Shoal, while China just didn't actually do anything and stayed put, violating the agreement, but leaving them behind in control of the Scarborough Shoal in a de facto sense that the Philippines continues to hotly dispute and contest to this day. In November, the ICJ settled a long-running territorial dispute between Colombia and Nicaragua, in which they awarded the sovereignty over several disputed islands to Colombia, but also awarded roughly 75,000 square kilometers of the disputed maritime area around the islands to Nicaragua instead, which left two of the small Colombian islands completely cut off from the rest of the others. Colombia rejected the decision and has never recognized it. Later in November of 2012, the UN General Assembly voted to upgrade the status of the state of Palestine from an entity to a non-member observer state, which effectively first extended the UN's recognition to the state of Palestine as an actual country, elevating it to the same status as the Holy See within the UN system. China also decided to unilaterally declare an extension of their exclusive economic zone, or EEZ, hundreds of kilometers deep into Japan's recognized EEZ, significantly increasing Sino-Japanese tensions, while around the same time, Uzbekistan once again decided to withdraw from the CSTO alliance for the second time after they began growing fearful of increasing Russian influence within their affairs. In 2013, Croatia became the latest and so far last country to have joined the European Union. The island nation of Cape Verde off the coast of West Africa formally changed their English language name to Cabo Verde. The ICJ clarified an earlier ruling of theirs on the Cambodia-Thailand territorial dispute over the Prah Vihear temple complex that awarded the promontory of the temple complex to Cambodia and a nearby hill to Thailand. And near the end of the year in November, China unilaterally declared a new Air Defense Identification Zone, or ADIZ, over the East China Sea that overlapped extensively with the previously recognized Air Defense Identification Zones of Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan, greatly angering all of them. The beginning of 2014, in January, ISIS first began capturing major headlines after they conquered the city of Fallujah in Iraq, representing the first major city to fall under the militant group's control. Less than 2 weeks later, ISIS would also manage to conquer the city of Raqqa across the border in Syria, the largest city in the eastern half of the country and the largest city in Syria that the group would manage to capture. At the end of the month of January, the ICJ also ruled on a maritime dispute between Chile and Peru, establishing a new boundary between the two countries roughly in the center of their prior claims that both sides decided to recognize. The following month in February came a major geopolitical earthquake in Europe when Russian forces launched a limited invasion of Ukraine and seized control over the Crimean Peninsula. The following month in March, under Russian military occupation, Crimea unilaterally declares its independence from Ukraine after a hotly disputed referendum that the government of Ukraine and the UN declare to be illegal. The very next day, Russia unilaterally declares to annex Crimea and the city of Sevastopol, leading directly to the start of the Crimea dispute in the 21st century. Other than Russia, only a small handful of other countries have since recognized the Russian annexation of Crimea, including Belarus, Syria, Sudan, Afghanistan, North Korea, Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela, while all other countries continue to officially recognize Crimea as still belonging to Ukraine. A couple months later, in May of 2014, pro-Russian separatists in Ukraine's eastern Donetsk and Luhansk provinces unilaterally declare their independence from Ukraine as well, following further hotly disputed referendums, calling themselves the Donetsk People's Republic, or DPR, and the Luhansk People's Republic, or LPR, respectively. Ukraine declares their independence declarations to be illegal and sends troops into them to restore order, while Russia begins directly supplying the separatists with weapons and undercover troops, beginning the violent war that Donbass. At around the same time of these events in Ukraine, Serbia and Afghanistan accede as non-member observer states to the Russian-led CSTO alliance as well. Also in May, Libya collapses into a seventh civil war after Field Marshal Khalifa Haftar launches a military campaign against Islamist militias in the regional capital of Benghazi, kickstarting a power struggle in the country between the House of Representatives and Haftar based in Tobruk and the Government of National Accord based in Tripoli, beginning the era of disunited rule and two rival governments in Libya between the East and the West that continues to this day. By June, the ISIS blitzkrieg steamrolling across the Middle East continued after the group managed to conquer the city of Mosul, the second largest city in Iraq that was home to around 2 million people, the largest city that the group will ever manage to take. Days later, ISIS's leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, will unilaterally declare the establishment of a new country and caliphate that he simply calls the Islamic State, or IS. IS begins the work of bulldozing the international border between Iraq and Syria that they almost completely control by this point, while Raqqa in Syria is proclaimed as their new capital city. And then by September, Yemen collapses into a civil war as well after the Houthi militia movement seizes control over the country's capital, Sana'a, and rapidly takes control over the country's government. By February of 2015, the war in the Donbass had claimed thousands of lives but began settling down after the DPR and LPR managed to consolidate their territories and secure their de facto independence from Ukraine. Both the DPR and LPR were left in control with roughly one-third of their respective provinces' territories as well as their capital cities. Both the DPR and LPR continue to lay claim to all of the Donetsk and Luhansk provinces and remain unrecognized by any country in the world, while Ukraine continue to consider them as rebellious separatists. Both sides began fortifying their line of contact, and a low-intensity, unresolved frozen conflict would settle in here for the next several years. By March, following the loss of the capital to the Houthis the previous year, the cabinet of Yemen decides to relocate the country's capital to Aden instead, leading to the era of disputed and disunited governments in Yemen between at least two rival governments in the north and the south that continues to this day. By May of 2015, the Islamic State reaches its territorial zenith, controlling a total of about 112,869 square kilometers of land across Iraq and Syria. That's roughly the same size as the U.S. state of Ohio, But it will all go downhill for the Islamic State from here. Within just 4 more years, all of it will be completely lost. In July, India and Bangladesh settled and simplified what was probably the most complex international border in the world at the time. In the region of the former Cooch Behar princely state was an absurdly complicated mess of exclaves and enclaves between the two countries. The main body of Bangladesh held 102 enclaves of India, which in turn contained 21 counter-enclaves of Bangladesh. One of which, notably and hilariously, contained this Indian counter-counter-enclave called Dhala Kagrabari, a piece of India within a piece of Bangladesh within a piece of India within Bangladesh. The only third-order enclave in the entire world while it still existed. Meanwhile, the main body of India also held 71 enclaves of Bangladesh, which in turn contained 3 more counter-enclaves of India. More than 50,000 people lived across all of these enclaves and had extremely complicated lives. And so, in 2015, both India and Bangladesh agreed to redraw their border in the area to simplify this mess once and for all. Under the agreement, India annexed 51 of Bangladesh's enclaves within the Indian mainland, while Bangladesh annexed 111 of the Indian enclaves within the Bangladeshi mainland, resulting in a net territorial gain for Bangladesh of about 40 square kilometers out of the deal, roughly the size of the microstate of San Marino. Finally, in December of 2015, the ICJ issued its final ruling on another territorial dispute between Costa Rica and Nicaragua. Both sides disputed a small island about 3 square kilometers in area at the mouth of the San Juan River that formed the border between them, and the ICJ ruled that the island belonged to Costa Rica, pushing the recognized border between them slightly over to the west. In March of 2016, the Kurdish-held areas in northeastern Syria unilaterally declared the creation of an autonomous government in the area that they call Rojava. The Syrian government refuses to recognize Rojava's autonomous declaration, and the only other government in the world that will ever do so is the Parliament of Catalonia, itself an autonomous region of Spain. In April of 2016, a brief 4-day war breaks out between Armenia and Azerbaijan for the status of the disputed region of Nagorno-Karabakh, internationally recognized as a part of Azerbaijan but de facto controlled by ethnic Armenian separatists ever since the 1990s. Azerbaijan launches the military offensive into Nagorno-Karabakh and recaptures between 8 and 20 square kilometers of territory before agreeing to a ceasefire, which represented the first time in 22 years since 1994 that the de facto line of contact in Nagorno-Karabakh shifted. Later in May of 2016, the Czech Republic also formally changes its English-language name to Czechia instead. In January of 2017, to reward Russia for militarily intervening in the Syrian civil war and propping up his government, the Assad regime in Syria signs a new lease agreement that grants Russia full sovereign jurisdiction over a naval port at Tartus and an air base at Hamina, both of them for a period of 49 years up until 2066, with options for further renewals, effectively making Tartus and Hamina de facto Russian territorial exclaves within Syria. The next month in February, following a constitutional referendum, the unrecognized and disputed Nagorno-Karabakh Republic within Azerbaijan formally changes its name to the Republic of Artsakh instead. In March of 2017, Turkish forces complete their first ground invasion into northern Syria against the Islamic State and Rojava in what they codenamed Operation Euphrates Shield, seizing control over about 2,055 square kilometers of internationally recognized Syrian territory in the process, and beginning the piecing together of what Turkey will eventually call their Northern Syria Security Belt. A couple of months later, in May of 2017, the U.S. seizes control over another chunk of Syria in the south around a military base that they unilaterally set up called Al-Atam. The U.S. establishes a 55-kilometer radius zone around this base within Syria that they unilaterally declared under the U.S. military's temporary jurisdiction. Later in June, NATO expands again with the alliance's seventh enlargement by welcoming in the country of Montenegro, while Egypt completes the territorial transfer of 2 small, uninhabited but strategically significant islands to Saudi Arabia, Tiran and Sanafir, which importantly sit at the entrance to the Gulf of Aqaba that leads directly to the ports of Aqaba in Jordan and Eilat in Israel. The decision sparks nationalist protests and riots in Egypt, while Saudi Arabia says that they intend to develop the islands for tourism. Briefly, in October of 2017, a geopolitical fiasco took place in Catalonia when the Catalan government decided to unilaterally declare its independence from Spain, following a contested and disputed referendum. The Spanish government declared the secession and the referendum before it to both be illegal, deployed police forces to initiate a crackdown, and sacked Catalonia's president and his cabinet and charged them with rebellion and sedition. But then nothing really ended up happening, as it turned out, that nobody in Catalonia was actually prepared to die for this cause. And by the end of the month, just a few weeks later, Catalonia's Declaration of Independence will be suspended by Spain's Constitutional Court, and so it continued staying as a part of Spain. Around the same time in Iraq, the Iraqi Kurdish Regional Government, or KRG, a semi-autonomous region made up of the Kurdish-majority areas in northern Iraq, unilaterally held their own independence referendum from Iraq as well. In the years leading up to this, the KRG had taken advantage of the power vacuum in Iraq caused by ISIS's expansion and had managed to seize control over most of the territory that they dispute with the Iraqi central government, including the city of Kirkuk, the fourth largest city in the country. But they evidently bit off more than they could chew with this independence referendum, because the Iraqi government refused to recognize it and then immediately launched a renewed military offensive against the KRG, in which they retook control over most of the disputed areas again, including Kirkuk, returning all of it back under the control of the Iraqi central government again. The KRG later relented and backed down from seeking outright independence again. Finally, in December of 2017, the U.S. becomes the first country to formally recognize Jerusalem in its entirety as the exclusive capital of Israel, which in effect makes the U.S. the first country to formally recognize Israel's unilateral annexation of East Jerusalem that they declared back in 1967. In January of 2018, Belgium and the Netherlands exchange a small amount of territory with each other along the Meuse River. The border here had been established as running through the center of the Meuse back in the 1840s. But over the years that followed, the river meandered and changed its course while the line of the border remained unchanged, which left two chunks of Belgium east of the river and one chunk of the Netherlands west of the river. So, in January of 2018, both sides reset the border back to the center of the river again and eliminated their exclaves, which left the Netherlands with a slight territorial gain of about 10 hectares of land. In February, the ICJ returned back to the territorial dispute between Costa Rica and Nicaragua again. They had previously awarded the disputed island here to Costa Rica, but the beach running along the northern shore of the island continued remaining in dispute. So the ICJ ruling in February of 2018 also awarded most of this beach to Costa Rica, but it also curiously awarded the tidal beach along this lagoon on the island to Nicaragua, which established a tiny territorial exclave of Nicaragua's around the lagoon separated from the rest of the country across Costa Rican territory. In March of 2018, Turkish forces completed their second ground invasion into northern Syria against Rojava, seizing control over about another 2,000 square kilometers of territory in what they codenamed Operation Olive Branch, adding on to the territory that they had previously captured during Operation Euphrates Shield. In April, the Kingdom of Swaziland formally changed their name to the Kingdom of Eswatini instead. While taking advantage of the chaos that was going on in Yemen at this moment during that country's civil war, the UAE briefly sent troops to occupy the Yemeni archipelago of Socotra, but then withdrew from them only a few weeks later following sharp international condemnation. And then in July of 2018, Ethiopia finally decided to withdraw from all of the territories that they disputed with neighboring Eritrea for years. Ethiopia and Eritrea fought a deadly war over these disputed territories back in the late 1990s that left Ethiopia in control of all of them. But the ICJ subsequently ruled against Ethiopia and awarded most of the disputed territories to Eritrea instead. Ethiopia rejected the ICJ's decision and continued holding on to all of the disputed territories for years, which led to a frozen conflict developing in the region, until right now in 2018 when Ethiopia finally decided to honor the ICJ's original ruling and returned all of the awarded territories to Eritrea, settling their border dispute and solidifying their frontiers. In January of 2019, the small African nation of Burundi formally relocated their capital city from Bujumbura to Gitega. And the next month in February, the Republic of Macedonia formally changed its name to the Republic of North Macedonia instead, following a long-running dispute with Greece, who strongly objected to the country's use of the Macedonia name. In exchange for renaming the country to North Macedonia instead, Greece agreed that they would stop vetoing the country's accession talks into NATO and the EU. By March of 2019, the Islamic State finally loses their last remaining territory in Syria and Iraq after four continuous years of prior losses and military defeats, ending the Islamic State as a geopolitical entity in the Middle East. The same month, the U.S. becomes the very first country besides Israel to formally recognize Israel's annexation and sovereignty over the Golan Heights, which Israel occupied from Syria decades previously in 1967. In October, Turkish forces completed their third and most recent ground invasion into northern Syria against Rojava through what they codenamed Operation Peace Spring, seizing another 4,820 square kilometers of Syrian territory that they added to their expanding northern Syria security belt. Turkey continues to occupy all of these territories in northern Syria to this day, coming out to about 8,900 square kilometers of territory that represents roughly 5% of Syria's internationally recognized territory. And then in November of 2019, Turkey and Libya's Government of National Accord, based in Tripoli, agree on a controversial new maritime deal that recognizes each other's EEZ claims across the Eastern Mediterranean Sea that overlapped directly with the competing EEZ claims of Greece, Cyprus, and Egypt, infuriating all three of these other countries in the process. The first month of 2020 came with a monumental change in Europe when the UK formally withdrew from the European Union, following the results of the Brexit referendum that was hosted back in 2016. The UK is the first and so far only country to withdraw from the EU, and it establishes two new land borders between EU and non-EU territory in Europe, across the island of Ireland between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland, and across the Gibraltar Isthmus between Spain and Gibraltar. In March, NATO expands again by welcoming North Macedonia as the alliance's newest member. In June of 2020, China suddenly declares a brand new territorial dispute with their neighbor Bhutan by issuing a claim to the country's Saktang Wildlife Sanctuary in the east, adding on to China's other claimed disputed areas with Bhutan in the north and the west of the country that add up to roughly 11% of Bhutan's internationally recognized territory. Later in August, Greece and Egypt signed their own separate maritime deal that recognizes each other's EEZ claims in a direct counter to the separate maritime agreement that was signed between Turkey and the Libyan Government of National Accord the previous year, escalating the maritime dispute going on in the Eastern Mediterranean between both parties even further. In October of 2020, the second civil war within Libya comes to a close with no firm resolution, leaving behind two halves of the country with rival governments in place. And in September of 2020, Azerbaijan launches a full-scale war against the Republic of Artsakh in Armenia that lasts for the next 6 weeks. By November, Azerbaijan emerges from the war decisively victorious and significantly redraws the borders of the South Caucasus in its favor in the process. Azerbaijan regains control over roughly 72% of the Republic of Artsakh's territory. Artsakh gets dramatically cut down to size and maintains only a tenuous connection to Armenia proper through a sliver of territory that becomes known as the Lachin Corridor, which receives thousands of Russian peacekeepers with the objective of maintaining the peace in the corridor. The next year, in May of 2021, Azerbaijani troops attacked Armenia again, and this time they advanced into Armenia proper, occupying about 41 square kilometers of internationally recognized Armenian territory in the process. By August of 2021, the U.S.-backed government in Afghanistan, the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan, is toppled and collapses in the face of a renewed Taliban offensive in the country. The Taliban regain their power in the country again after a 20-year absence and re-proclaim the establishment of the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan instead, changing the country's flag from the Islamic Republic era back to their own white and black flag that they used to use back in 2001 before they were overthrown. Since then, the only country in the world that has recognized the Taliban as Afghanistan's official government is Russia, with every other country so far still recognizing the deposed Islamic Republic's government in exile instead. In October of 2021, the ICJ ruled on a maritime territorial dispute between Kenya and Somalia, drawing the border between them roughly in the center of each of their claims. Somalia accepted the result, while Kenya denounced it and has so far refused to accept it. In November, Qatar and Saudi Arabia finally settled their own long-standing border dispute that had lingered around for nearly the past century, with the Saudis largely accepting Qatar's claims that the border extended far enough south to include the southern shores of the Khor Al Adeid inland sea within Qatar. The same month, the small Caribbean island country of Barbados changed their government structure to a republic and severed the remaining ties to the British monarchy and ceased being a Commonwealth realm in the process. In February of 2022, Russia chose to formally recognize the independence declarations of the DPR and LPR in eastern Ukraine, becoming the first UN member state to take such a step. Then, just 3 days later, Russia launches its full-scale military invasion of Ukraine, sparking the deadliest war seen in Europe since the Second World War in the process. While the war is ongoing in May of 2022, Turkey formally changes its name in the English language to Turkey. While in June, Denmark and Canada decide to settle their own small territorial dispute over Hans Island in the Arctic Ocean, wedged in between Greenland, which is controlled by Denmark, and Canada's Ellesmere Island. Both countries had disputed the uninhabited Hans Island's ownership for decades. But now they agree to settle the dispute by simply drawing a border between them roughly across the island's center, which established a physical land border between Canada and Denmark. In August of 2022, following major military setbacks for Russia during the Ukraine invasion, Azerbaijan once again decided to seize the opportunity and launched another military offensive against Armenia, and seized control over even more territories within Armenia proper. Armenia called upon the CSTO alliance for its defense against this Azerbaijani attack. But with Russia preoccupied in Ukraine, the CSTO refused to heed the call. In September, Kazakhstan formally changes the name of its capital city from Nur-Sultan back to its original name of Astana again. While around the same time, Russia unilaterally recognizes the independence of the Zaporizhia and Kherson provinces of Ukraine that their armed forces largely occupied following disputed referendums that they hosted in the areas that they controlled in them. The very next day after doing so, Russia unilaterally declares to annex all of the provinces of Luhansk, Donetsk, Zaporizhia, and Kherson, which Ukraine refuses to recognize and which the UN declares to be illegal and a violation of international law. At the time of Russia's annexation declaration, they didn't yet control all of the territory in the provinces that they claimed, with significant areas of them that still remained under firm Ukrainian control. Since September of 2022, Russia has legally regarded all of the provinces of Luhansk, Donetsk, Zaporizhia, and Kherson as core integral territories of Russia, including the remaining portions of them that are still controlled by the Ukrainians, which can be shown on recently published maps by the Russian government like this one. As it stands now, 3 years later in late 2025, Russia controls all of the Luhansk province and roughly 75% each of the Donetsk, Zaporizhia, and Kherson provinces as well. When adding in Crimea and Sevastopol, Russia now occupies more than 114,000 square kilometers of internationally recognized Ukrainian territory, or about 20% of the whole country in an area that's roughly the size of Ohio, or what ISIS once took over across Iraq and Syria. Russia also currently controls smaller occupied areas in the Kharkiv, Sumy, Mykolaiv, and Dnipropetrovsk provinces of Ukraine as well, while Ukraine briefly controlled an occupied area in Russia's Kursk province as well before they were repulsed. Ukraine and nearly all of the international community continues to reject Russia's conquests in Ukraine, while the war over Ukraine's ultimate future continues raging on. In October of 2022, Israel and Lebanon agreed to a deal that was brokered by the UK on resolving their maritime dispute in the Eastern Mediterranean. The two sides agreed to resolve the dispute with a line that was drawn roughly down the center of each of their claims, which enabled both countries to begin exploiting what had previously been the disputed natural gas fields in the area. In early 2023, NATO expanded again to welcome Finland in the alliance's ninth overall enlargement, and in May, Syria was welcomed back into the Arab League again after it had been suspended following the start of the civil war in the country all the way back in 2011. Then in September, Azerbaijan launches yet another renewed military offensive against the Republic of Artsakh, which ends just a little over 24 hours later with another decisive Azerbaijani victory. Artsakh crumbles apart and agrees to completely dissolve itself by 2024. While gripped by panic and fear for their future at the hands of the Azerbaijani army, more than 99% of Artsakh's entire ethnically Armenian population, roughly 100,000 people, flee across the border into Armenia proper, effectively ending the Armenians' cultural presence in Nagorno-Karabakh that had lasted for the past 2,000 years. Later on the 1st of January of 2024, Artsakh will formally dissolve itself and the whole territory will be reintegrated back into Azerbaijan again, ending Artsakh's existence as a geopolitical entity and putting an end to the long-running Nagorno-Karabakh dispute that had existed since the 1990s, and which was once considered to be one of the world's most intractable conflicts. And somehow even more significantly, in October of 2023, Hamas and allied Palestinian militant factions in the Gaza Strip broke out from their Israeli-imposed blockade and launched a surprise invasion into Israel that triggered the ongoing Gaza War. Israel responded to the attack by rapidly launching its own full-scale invasion into the Gaza Strip, sparking one of the 21st century's other deadliest conflicts in the process. Since that, about 2 years later, in late 2025, Israel has come to occupy roughly 86% of the Gaza Strip's territory and has inflicted unprecedented destruction upon it, with the UN reporting that as of August 2025, more than 78% of all the buildings that used to exist in Gaza have been either destroyed or damaged, including 92% of Gaza's entire housing stock, rendering the vast majority of Palestinians in Gaza homeless. Much of Gaza has been rendered uninhabitable by the war, while several tens to even hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in the territory have been killed, depending on the source. The Gaza Strip's ultimate future and status following the end of this war is still deeply uncertain. In March of 2024, NATO expanded once again by admitting Sweden in the alliance's 10th and so far most recent enlargement. In April, the government of the functionally autonomous region of Puntland within Somalia unilaterally declared that they would begin functioning as an independent state from Somalia following a dispute over changes that were made to the country's constitution. But it has so far not gained any international recognition, and the Somali government has rejected their right to secede. In April, Armenia, continually under military pressure by Azerbaijan following multiple lost wars and engagements, agreed to cede 4 abandoned border villages of theirs over to Azerbaijan, shifting the border between them once again. And in July, the governments of Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger declared the establishment of a new confederation that they call the Alliance of Sahel States, with the stated objective of eventually establishing a common market between them, a monetary union under a shared currency, and an eventual federalization into a new, united, single sovereign state, creating a rival power bloc in West Africa to the traditional ECOWAS alliance that the three countries used to all belong to. By 2025, all three of these states will complete their formal withdrawals from ECOWAS. In October of 2024, Israel launches a ground invasion into southern Lebanon with the objective of pushing Hezbollah away from the border. Just a few months later, Israel agrees to fully withdraw from southern Lebanon again, but after the deadline to do so passes in February of 2025, Israel ultimately refuses to fully withdraw as they had initially promised, and maintains an occupation in southern Lebanon in what they call 5 strategic points just across from their border, which continue to be held by them up until today. In the same month, the UK also agrees to cede the sovereignty of the Chagos Archipelago in the Indian Ocean to the country of Mauritius, who had disputed the ownership of the archipelago with the UK for decades, ever since their independence back in the 1960s. The terms of the agreement will be modified and negotiated over the next several months, but in the end, the UK agrees to transfer all of the Chagos Archipelago back to Mauritius and to dissolve its British Indian Ocean territory that they had established over these islands. While in exchange, Mauritius agreed to lease the key island of Diego Garcia in the archipelago, which hosts the major U.S. strategic air base, back to the UK again for a period of 99 years up until the year 2124. By December of 2024, a renewed major rebel offensive in Syria led directly to the decades-old Assad regime finally collapsing in the country after more than a decade of civil war, leading to the new government in Syria adopting a brand new flag that replaced the top red bar with a top green bar, the flag that had been used extensively by rebels in Syria for years now. In the midst of this internal chaos in Syria, Israeli forces seized on the opportunity and launched a limited invasion into Syria from the Golan Heights, seizing control over most of the UN-established buffer zone that had existed between Syrian and Israeli-controlled territory in the region, and further expanding Israel's de facto frontiers. In January of 2025, the day that he reassumed the U.S. presidency again, Donald Trump signed an executive order that directed U.S. federal agencies to begin referring to the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America instead, kickstarting an international naming dispute over this body of water on the world's maps. Later on in May of 2025, the ICJ ruled on a territorial dispute in Africa between Equatorial Guinea and Gabon, in which it redrew the borders between them and awarded some land to both sides and several islands to Equatorial Guinea. And finally in August, Armenia and Azerbaijan, under U.S. mediation, agreed on a final peace agreement between them that included a plan to establish one of Azerbaijan's longest-held objectives, an overland corridor between the Azerbaijani mainland and their large exclave in Nakhchivan through Armenian territory that separated them. The agreement granted the U.S. the exclusive rights to develop this corridor across Armenia, which will be officially called the Trump Route for International Peace and Prosperity, or TRIP, and it will be leased to the U.S. for a period of 99 years well into the 22nd century, putting a little piece of America deep in the heart of the South Caucasus for a long time to come. The geopolitical world map changes just about every single year in one way or another. And the second quarter of the 21st century is already shaping up to look like it'll experience even more radical changes than what happened throughout the first quarter. Indeed, the final quarter of the 20th century, between 1976 and 2000, experienced some of the most monumental changes to our world map that we've ever seen. That quarter experienced the deaths of multiple countries around the world, including South Vietnam in 1976, East Germany and South Yemen, which both collapsed in 1990, the Soviet Union, which shattered into 15 new countries in 1991, Yugoslavia, which shattered the next year in 1992, and Czechoslovakia, which divorced in 1993. And many other failed attempts were made to redraw the borders of the world map through force as well. Saddam Hussein led Iraq into two failed wars of conquest against Iran and Kuwait. Serbian forces attempted to carve out a greater Serbia at the expense of Bosnia and Croatia in the wake of the death of Yugoslavia. Argentina launched an amphibious invasion of the British-controlled Falkland Islands in another misguided war of conquest. Khmer Rouge-controlled Cambodia launched a war of conquest into southern Vietnam that backfired spectacularly. And perhaps most ludicrously, and not as well understood in the Western world, Idi Amin's Uganda launched an invasion into Tanzania with the goal of conquering some of the country's land in 1978. The conflict rapidly morphed into one of the most bizarre episodes to have ever happened in modern history. After the invasion immediately fell apart and backfired for Uganda and Tanzanian troops began counter-invading, Idi Amin challenged the Tanzanian president to a boxing match to settle the war instead, which was refused. Throughout the past 8 years that he led Uganda, despite not possessing an education beyond the fourth grade, Idi Amin had been credibly accused of being a cannibal, had crowned himself as the supposedly rightful king of Scotland, had fathered dozens of children, expelled all of the country's ethnic minorities, infamously fed many of his enemies to crocodiles, and destroyed the entire economy through gross mismanagement and incompetence. He was, without exaggeration, one of the most flamboyantly bizarre leaders to have ever touched the world of geopolitics over the past half century. And because any video about Idi Amin and his time in power in Uganda would immediately become demonetized and age-restricted here on YouTube, I made an entire new documentary exploring him in my brand new original documentary series that I'm calling Mad Kings, which will take deeper dives into the terrible personal lives and erratic decision-making of recent, unstable, and darker dictators. And because of the inherently violent and darker subject material surrounding this series, my documentary investigating the life and power of Idi Amin would never work out on YouTube, because it would instantly be demonetized and age-restricted, which means that YouTube's algorithm, which is based around showing you ads, would never be incentivized to actually show the video to you or to promote it. I deal with very large numbers of my videos on YouTube getting demonetized and age-restricted as they already are. And that's why I'll be uploading all of my documentaries in Mad Kings, including this one on Idi Amin, exclusively to Nebula. And why signing up to Nebula is the absolute best thing that you can do to support me and my channel. You'll also get access to way more content than just this new Mad King series as well. You'll also be able to watch the nearly 50 other exclusive documentaries that I've published to Nebula in my separate Modern Conflict series as well, which explore 21st century wars, battles, conflicts, and genocides using a level of depth and frankness that would also never work on YouTube without triggering demonetization or age restriction issues. This is all possible because the best part about Nebula is that it's jointly co-owned by myself and hundreds of other independent creators to make the projects that we're all actually deeply excited about without any fear of being censored or demonetized like we are on YouTube. Because, since it's a subscriber-based platform, we don't have to cater around the sensitive needs of advertisers and a faceless algorithm that nobody really understands. That's why there's tons of other new unique content on Nebula that's coming out all the time, too, that you'll also love. Like Neo's Underexposure series, Wendover Productions' The Logistics of X series, TLDR News' What to Follow USA series, and so many others. I also know that there's a lot of streaming platforms out there right now, and you don't want to get stuck with another monthly cost to keep track of. But I also know that if you've watched this all the way through to the end, there is so much content on Nebula that you'll love as well, and so much more coming out with every new month that you could consider a lifetime membership to Nebula as well. You just pay once, and then you'll get lifetime access to everything that I and hundreds of other creators will ever produce on Nebula for as long as we both last, and then you'll never have to worry about a recurring subscription or ads ever again. That's the best way possible to support what I'm doing here on Real Life Lore. But even if you'd rather not make that large of an upfront commitment, you can still help support me by signing up for a yearly or a monthly subscription to Nebula as well, which you can get for a fantastic deal with 40% off by scanning the QR code or clicking the button here on your screen right now, or by following the link that's down below in the description. Any of which will also get you access to everything on Nebula for the very low price of just $3 per month or $36 a year. I hope that you'll consider signing up, and as always, thank you so much for watching.